Now would be a great time for you to get your Bibles out or pull it up on your iPhones or your pads. We are going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 7. These days, I get very excited about the milestones and the victories that I have experienced in my life. One of the small victories I shared this past year with my motorcycle friends here at Westbridge. Actually, it was 2 years in a row. Last year, when we conquered the summit of Mount Washington in New Hampshire on our motorcycles, and then this year, when we ran the Tail of the Dragon in Tennessee. Another milestone for me in my life, and just the way I am, there were a couple bands that I wanted to see throughout my whole life. I was too little. I was kind of caught in a weird time warp where I was kind of between the Boomers and the Busters, and I never got a chance to see the Eagles. So I got a chance. My wife took me to see the Eagles and, of course, Poco. I know you don't know who they are, but I wanted to see them. There was the milestone of building my own house. I actually built my own house. It was a very cool thing to do. There was the restoring of a classic car. My long and exciting career as a firefighter was a milestone. There's the graduation, of course, of the kids through major school elements, and especially there has been the milestone and the marker of the wonder of this church family that we call Westbridge and all that that entails. Each of these incredible happenings in my life are markers of something highly significant to me. And for each of them, I have some kind of tangible memento of each. For some, it's a cherished picture that I have framed or I use as a background on my computer. For others, it may be a t-shirt that I bought, a trophy, maybe a shadow box item, a piece of jewelry, or even a pin. These tangible reminders are sometimes called Ebenezers. Now, we get that word from a story in 1 Samuel. In the story, Israel, God's chosen people, Israel, are being hounded by enemies called the Philistines. And one day, the Philistines finally said, that's it, and they are going to attack Israel. We'll pick up the story here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. It says, just as Samuel the prophet was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. The men of Israel chased them from Mizpah to a place below Bethkar, slaughtering them all along the way. Samuel then took a large stone and he placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshanah. For he named this stone Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. And so the Philistines were subdued, and they didn't invade Israel again for some time. But what an incredibly cool practice this is, huh? Samuel raises a large stone that people will walk past for ages, and the stone stands as a monument saying, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. What a powerful proclamation to present to the world. I love the practice of raising an Ebenezer, marking moments with unforgettable images and actions. And as we will learn today, it appears God does too. God wants us to experience the elation and the joy of a God victory. And he wants us shouting it to the world that he is still vanquishing our enemies and he is still rescuing his people. In just 2 weeks, we are going to have one of those Ebenezer raising moments. On August 26th, Ebenezer stones will be raised and presented to the world. And they will be saying, up to this point, God has helped me. And from here forward, I will follow God. You see, baptism is an incredibly large Ebenezer moment. Friends, when we look at the raising of that first Ebenezer, we see that the elements of the practice really haven't changed all that much. The first thing we recognize is that when God moves, it's an exciting thing. Point one, excitement. In Samuel chapter 7, Israel's back was up against the wall. The Philistines hated them, and trouble had been brewing for a long time. And then it finally happened. The Philistines pull the trigger and charge in for a fight. Now, friends, when you read this account, you can sometimes miss the emotion. You can sometimes miss the heart turmoil that must have been present in each of the hearts of those of Israel. This is soul-shaking stuff being attacked. I mean, for us, think of a downsizing at your office, and you're on the fence. For us, think of waiting for test results to come back from a biopsy. For us, think about grades that we're waiting for to be posted on a final exam, and you're on the edge. Then, from out of the blue, and for no reason that we deserve, God sweeps in, and he saves the day. It says the Philistines arrived to attack Israel, but the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day. And the Philistines were thrown into such a confusion that the Israelites defeated them. Gang, you do not fight hand-to-hand combat, which is what they did here, and not have emotion in you. You do not rout your antagonist enemy and not feel it in your soul. You don't keep your job in a downsizing and not feel relief and gratitude. You do not receive a good test result on your biopsy and not want to fall on your knees in joy. And you do not pass a hard course and not want to throw a party. One of my favorite Ebenezers of all time is this one. We all know him as our lovable, always caring, and constantly giving Mr. Caleb. But years ago, he had his Philistines, lots of them. And according to him, when he walked into this church for the first time over a decade ago, he had checked out on church and checked out on a lot more. But time went on. And in that time, Jesus worked his healing. Jesus worked his instructing, and Jesus worked his life-giving magic on Mr. Caleb. Pain was turned into learning. Confusion was transformed into purpose. Despair was replaced with hope, joy, and excitement. So that summer, Mr. Caleb raised his Ebenezer, and he did so with an exuberance that will never be forgotten. Friends, that's one of the things an Ebenezer reminds us of. That wonderful moment when God took away our burdens, and we felt the relief of forgiveness, and we felt the joy of acceptance, and we felt the thrill of our soul taking flight. It's not uncommon for the cares of this world and the troubles that come against us to diminish and dampen the excitement that we feel when we first meet Jesus. But then there are the Ebenezers, the remembrance items, the markers like this that quickly refocus us. Samuel wanted the thrill of God's victory over the enemies to be something that people would always remember. And an Ebenezer was the proper marker. So with the excitement and elation fueling Samuel, a second component of raising an Ebenezer comes into play. Point two, effort. Gang, do not picture Samuel as grabbing a couple of rocks and piling them up on the side of the road and calling that an Ebenezer. No. The Bible records that it was a single large stone. Theologians believe that it was a stone that would have been very large and that it would be stood tall on its end. Some even argue that it was a column, while others say they believe it was pointed, with a point sticking into the ground like a giant arrowhead. Remember the line, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Well, whether it was one or the other, we're unsure, but what is sure is that it took effort. It took effort for Samuel to raise that Ebenezer. Samuel had to search and locate a stone. Samuel had to have the effort of moving that stone. Then the effort of raising it. And lastly, the effort of commemorating the stone. But if you notice, none of that effort is made prominent in the story. It appears Samuel counted all of that work as no work at all. Samuel didn't think any effort in raising an Ebenezer to mark God's provision was too much effort. I know for me, effort communicates tons of sentiment. If you were with us last fall, the people of Westbridge did something incredible for me. You see, since I have been a pastor, and I have been a pastor for 18 years now, I've never had anything more to preach from than an old junky music stand. But without me knowing it, our people came up with an idea to build a custom lectern for me. And the effort that went into this Ebenezer was incredible. You see, the wood was not wood that they purchased anywhere. It was wood that they milled from a local tree, a tree that had grown here in Alpha, a walnut tree. They took the tree down and they milled the boards of the lectern from that tree. Then they set out in designing just the right design for this. Ingeniously and covertly, they even measured the height of my old music stand after a service that we had finished. I had no idea they were doing that. They wanted it to be just the right height that I would like and also just the right angle. Then they cut the base into the shape of a W. And then they put a shelf inside for tissues because sometimes I get allergies. Laughing at my disability. Our most recent logo was frosted into the front along with my life verse. John 10:10, I come that they might have life and have it to the full. Friends, when I see this monument, when I see this Ebenezer, it is a reminder of the effort that my friends would go through to tell me that they love me. They could easily have bought one, and that would have been fine. But the effort that went into this Ebenezer, we see, that makes it priceless to me. With our baptism fast approaching, I think, is it hay fever season? With our baptism fast approaching, I think about this sacrament that God established and realize that God must smile very broadly when he sees the effort that people put forth to honor him in this manner. You see, God didn't design baptism, the baptism Ebenezer. He didn't design it that just grab a card and sign your name on it. No, that's not it. God didn't design the Ebenezer of baptism as go purchase a cross necklace and put it on and wear it. No. God has the baptismal candidate walk out in front of all their friends and family and tell them, to this point, the Lord has helped me, and I will follow him forever. At Westbridge, we have each baptismal candidate write down their story. They write down their story of where they came from and how Jesus found them. And each person, as they stand in the pool, they share their story, whether they read it themselves or they give it to someone else to read. And everyone around the pool looks on in love and in admiration. Then the one who's being baptized is taken under the water to show that they, of their own choice, and by God's grace, they are having their old life washed away, and they are emerging from the water washed clean by Jesus. It's a picture of what Jesus has done in their life already. They emerge to a new life with Jesus as their leader, a new life that they themselves have chosen to live, a new life of living for God's kingdom, and a new life of understanding and enlightenment by God's Holy Spirit, which now dwells inside them. This is a believer's Ebenezer. Now, we all know that the hard work and the effort of doing something for God, we know that that's not what saves us. The Bible says very clearly, it's the saving faith of putting our faith in Jesus, not the work we do. But I am continually reminded of the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Talk about someone who was anxious to raise his Ebenezer. Listen to this story. Philip was a follower of Jesus. After Jesus left, this happened to Philip. It says, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so Philip started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and now he was returning. Seated in his carriage, this Ethiopian eunuch was reading aloud from the book of the prophet of Isaiah. Well, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk alongside the carriage. So Philip ran and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I, unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I love the fact that there was absolutely no hesitation on the Ethiopian eunuch's part. There was no embarrassment, no worry that it would seem weird. We are told this Ethiopian eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship God. And now Philip introduces him to that God. And the Ethiopian eunuch embraces it with full surrender and immediate effort. How sad this story would have been if the eunuch had said, well, I like the private, simple faith part, but I'm embarrassed by anything that's more than that. How sad the story would be if the Ethiopian eunuch had said, okay, I'll believe in Jesus, but I find getting into the water and this whole baptism thing, I find that off-putting. How sad the story would have been if the eunuch had said, I believe the part about me getting from Jesus, but I'm not into doing for Jesus. That's not how the story goes, though. Jesus said loud and clear, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Jesus' brother James goes on to record this. He says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it does not prove itself with action, is dead. Noah spent decades building an ark, And though he was called crazy and he suffered embarrassment, no one ever questioned his faith. His actions proved his faith. Abraham took his beloved son Isaac and laid him on the altar to God and was about to honor God's command to give Isaac back to God. Now, you can speculate on the struggle going on in Abraham's mind, but you cannot question his faith. His actions reveal his faith. Westbridge, God asks you and me to step into water and be baptized, acknowledging the commitment that we have made to him. And the Ethiopian eunuch shows us our faith should run to that. We should run to that with open arms. Lastly, Samuel stood that Ebenezer upright, and then he consecrated it. It says, he named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help, for he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. That stone would proclaim to the world how God had helped Israel. Our final observation is this, exclamation. Where our excitement was more about us and our effort was more focused on God, our exclamation is really focused on others, isn't it? We have received an unfathomable gift from God. We have found rescue from the bondage of sin. We have found illumination to the spiritual world around us. We have found understanding of this epic battle going on, fought for the hearts of mankind. We have found release from the guilt and shame of sin. We have found power to overcome sin. We have found a relationship with the Almighty God of the universe. We have found acceptance into the family of God, and we have found a home in a local church. We have found eternal life. We have found purpose in our existence, and we have found hope and peace and love. And friends, our baptism proclaims that to others. I assure you, there will be people standing around that pool, August 26th, watching, who are still lost in sin. And they still need answers. And your Ebenezer may be the billboard that God uses to get through to them. So with August 26th, just 2 weeks away, it's a good time for some personal inventory. First question, have you asked Jesus to forgive your sins and give birth to your spirit? Friends, this is why this church was started. This is why I have stood in front of you for 16 years pouring out my heart. And this is the most important question and choice you will make in your entire life. Have you had your sins washed away by Jesus and had your soul reborn by him? If you haven't, there is eternal life and life to the full here on earth waiting for you. You just have to surrender your heart to him. You just have to say, yes, I admit my sins. Yes, I believe Jesus is the saving Son of God. And yes, I want to tell the world. I remember the day so vividly in my life. I had surrendered my life to Christ, and immediately I went the next day to the pastor of the church. After he got up off the floor, after seeing me at the door, I said to him, how can I help? And so I started that day driving kids to softball in the church van. And my excitement has never waned since then. Next inventory piece is our effort. How enthusiastically are you serving God? When God shows you something to do, do you see it as a distraction in your life? Or is it a welcome work opportunity? The Ethiopian eunuch didn't see baptism as a chore. He saw it as a privilege and a pleasure. Peter, who walked with Jesus, tells us how we are to serve God. Peter says this, watch over God's flock as God does. don't do this because you have to, but because you want to. Don't do it out of greed, but out of a desire to serve. The Ebenezer stone that Samuel set up that day is long gone, friends. But Samuel's heart of longing to do something for God, that will be rewarded in eternity, and we are still talking about it thousands of years later. The Bible tells us this. If you openly declare that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved, as the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be ashamed. And that leads us to our last inventory piece. Have you raised your Ebenezer? Have you done the tangible act of being baptized? Your response may well be, no, I haven't. Well, then come and talk to me after the service. Let's talk this through. Maybe there's questions. Maybe there's questions like this. I was baptized as a child. Should I be baptized again, Pastor Drew? Well, I would say this. Baptism is all about you saying, I have understanding of God and Jesus. I have personally chosen to accept Jesus as my Savior, and I have chosen to serve him. We believe the Bible reserves baptism for those who have interacted with Jesus themselves, those who understand the implications of the gospel, and those who have decided for themselves to accept Jesus as their own personal Savior. Baptism is about you telling your story and sharing your journey to God. Therefore, I recommend, if you have not raised your Ebenezer, do it August 26th. Come see me, and we'll get you baptized. Next question. I'm 6 years old. Am I too young? Age gang will vary. It will vary on who can understand and who can't. Some six-year-olds can certainly understand God's truth, and they can understand that they've sinned. What we do at Westridge is this. I meet personally with every single candidate, and I go over it with them, and we talk, and I make sure each and every candidate is ready to be baptized. So 6 years old, absolutely a possibility. Come see me. Next question. Pastor Drew, I'm not sure where I stand with Jesus. I'm still kind of investigating. Should I be baptized? Well, friend, let me say this. The Bible encourages investigation of Jesus. The Bible encourages seeking and investigating Jesus. But the Bible also warns, do not delay. There's a big difference between investigation and procrastination. Nowhere in the Bible will you see an ongoing, long-term investigation of Jesus that goes on and on and on and on. No, Jesus is open and Jesus is direct about who he is and what he offers, and so are we here. All questions are answered immediately and as fully as biblically possible. Friend, in the end, it's going to all come down to faith. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If your diligent investigation of faith in Jesus is more than a few months long, I'm talking about a diligent look and investigation to Jesus. If you have been looking that long, your status probably isn't investigation. It's probably procrastination. In the book and in the movie, The Case for Christ, an award-winning journalist and an atheist determined to uncover the real truth about Jesus. And in less than a year, he would become a Christian. If you're at this point, come talk to me. But in all honesty, I think you already know it's not an investigation you're dealing with. It's probably procrastination. I have also heard this. I can't physically get in the water. I'm too old. I'm like you, Pastor Drew, thinking you're going to do a 5K. Well, is full immersion in the water, is that the only thing that counts? No. God honors your heart, and he honors your desire. You can be baptized at the water's edge. He'll pour water over you. Come talk to me. We'll work it out. Another question. As a teen, I accepted Jesus and was baptized, but I have not lived a life of obedience until now. Should I get re-baptized? Well, let me start by saying this. God only instructs us to be baptized once. The instruction is be baptized. But I will say this. We are to honor the commitment we made, no matter what we've done. And I get that you got baptized, you kind of went a different direction, and now you're saying, I want to follow God, I want to be re-baptized. You can just honor the commitment you made. But in my time as a pastor, I've spoken to people who wanted to be re-baptized. And here's what I learned. One person told me this. They said they were baptized once, but at that time, they did all the proper motions. But that's exactly what it was, going through the motions. There was not a real relationship with Jesus that had started, they told me. But since then, there has been true understanding of it and real conversion. And I look in Acts chapter 19, and Paul meets 12 men who had been baptized by John the Baptist. This was before Jesus' ministry when they were baptized. Paul explains, years later after Jesus is gone, that he explains Jesus' death to them. And these men find a new understanding. Paul re-baptizes them. He re-baptizes them and the Holy Spirit enters into them. Now the Bible teaches us that God gives us baptism for identification and solidification. People are identifying themselves as I am rescued by Jesus Christ. There's the identification. The Bible teaches that baptism is for identification, but it also teaches that is there for solidification. People are solidifying it by an outward proclamation to the world. The 12 men, think about it, the 12 men that Paul rebaptized had the same baptism Jesus had. They had the same baptism Jesus' disciples had had. They were all baptized by John the Baptist. Yet Paul saw a benefit in rebaptizing them, and it certainly brought about good. So if you're feeling something in your heart, come talk to me. Let's talk about this. See what happened. Come to me and we will talk it through. But in closing, I want to make sure we get the theology right here. This is the last thing I want to talk about. The question is this, will not getting baptized keep me out of heaven? Gang, hear me loud and clear on this. There's only one thing that gets someone into heaven or prevents them from getting to heaven, and it's whether or not they have admitted their sins to Jesus and have received his washing clean by his blood, and that's all done through faith. That's the only stipulation as far as going to heaven or not going to heaven. I believe the better question than this would be, does the Lord want me to be baptized? And the answer here is that nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere is baptism considered unimportant, and nowhere is it considered or called optional. I would point you to Jesus's example. Of all the people who wouldn't need to be baptized, it'd be Jesus. And he got baptized. Friends, God is doing something very interesting this year at Westbridge. I don't think any of us really know what it's all about. But I believe that August 26th is supposed to be a big part of it. And I have felt that way since God first whispered into my ear back in September, times two. The question tonight is, what is God whispering in your ear? As the band comes back and the worship leaders return,
Consider in your heart, what is your inventory? Where are you at with Jesus? If you have not made your public declaration of letting the world know your story of Jesus finding you, you are in for a treat. Many people get to their baptism and want to do it again. It's an incredible moment. It's a moment for you, it's a moment for God, and it's a moment for others. After we finish the service, we're going to have our prayer leaders over here, and I'm going to be here. And if you're thinking you want to be baptized, or you haven't been, you want to talk it through, come see me. You've got 2 weeks. It may just be your time to raise your Ebenezer. Would you stand and worship? Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. And I thank you that we can come to your word and understand what it is that you want us to do in the lives that you've given us. Lord, I thank you that you sent your Son from heaven to breathe the air we breathe and to walk the same dirt roads we walk. And I pray that you'd help us to know that you understand us, that you have life to the full waiting for us, and that you are the one who can take care of all our debt, take care of all the problems. You wipe it clean with the power of what Jesus did on the cross. And Lord, I pray that you would give a boldness to us, that we would be like the Ethiopian eunuch, who would be excited and energetic to put forth the effort of being baptized to proclaim to the world, to ourselves, and to you, that you are what we seek. You are what our eyes now see. And I pray that you'd help each of us to embrace that. Let the raising of Ebenezers begin. And Lord, let it start here. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. We're going to spend the next 5 minutes catching up with one another, and then we will say goodbye. Have a great week, everybody.